You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Your plan.
On my mother's side,
I'll be crucified,
but on my father's side, in 3 days I'll arrive,
and I'll sit at my father's
name, son.
On my mother's side.
My name is Jesus.
But on my father's side,
they call me Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side.
Now I'm 12 years.
But on my father's side,
I've just always been.
Where are you from?
On my mother's side.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side,
I'll be crucified.
But on my father's side, in 3 days I'll arrive,
and I'll sit at my father's side.
Thank you, Dolores. That was very good. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible and would like to have one, if you lift your hand, we'll get somebody to bring you one. Okay? And let me say this. If you don't have a Bible here in Odessa, Texas, we'd like to give you that one. Now let that be the rec room's gift to you. We want you to have a Bible. I'm going to talk tonight about why most people don't carry them around. I want to talk a little bit about tonight why they keep changing them. I'm going to talk about the most dangerous book in the world. It's called the Bible. No book is hated like the Bible. They'll take it out. You can go out here at the Christian bookstore and you can buy a whole lot of books about how good man is. You can buy a book called Become a Better You, Your Best Life Now. I'm okay, you're okay. Which you're really not. We've got all these things about power of positive thinking, grow rich, all of these things looking out for number one. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to read tonight what God sees and what He sees when He looks at me and you. When He sees the best of us and the worst of us. And He will not be telling us how good we are. When I first started going into prison, 28 years ago, they told me, said, "Now, Leland, you need to be careful because some of the inmates have fragile egos." I never hit the prison that had any of them. Every prison I hit had some of the smart aleckiest bunch of people I'd ever seen. They thought they could do anything. They said, "Well, now they need to have a better self-image." Right. Finally, somebody did some research on that. I guess somebody that had some sense when they told him that, he went and researched it. And a few years later, a book came out of Dallas, Texas, that said that they'd found out among the high self-esteem of the type of the people group of professions that that criminals had the high self-esteem of any group of people in America. And within the criminal group, the two groups that had the highest self-esteem among them were wife beaters and gang bangers. Boy, they thought they were better than everybody else. Now think about this. You got to have a good self-esteem to think you can get by with all the stuff some of us think we can get by with. We're crazy sometimes to think that we can get away with some of the things we do. That takes an inflated self-esteem. We think we're something else. And we sit right there. We also have that when we sit there, like I did for years, and smoke your Marlboros and think that I wasn't going to get lung cancer. You say, "Well, I ain't never got it." Well, it ain't over yet, baby. You mind? Just go on with some of that stuff, man. And I'm not getting on you about it other than the fact that do some thinking. I know it hurts. But think a little bit. I look back at my life and I think, how stupid could I possibly be? I don't know how I've jammed this much stupidity in these few short years. It's amazing, because I never wanted to listen to anybody. I was smarter than my daddy, I was smarter than my mama, I was smarter than my coach, I was smarter than my teachers. And they were all doing pretty well, and I wasn't. But I want us to look, Romans chapter 3. Listen to what God says about mankind. And we're going to begin with verse 10. Romans 3:10. Romans is a great doctrinal book. There are some of the greatest doctrines in the Bible explained in Romans. It's a fascinating. It's a great book for theologians. It's a great book for Bible students. It's a great book for Bible teachers. But it's also a great book to get a good look at yourself. And he says, verse 10, as it is written. That means he's gone back and got it someplace else in the Bible. In other words, he's saying, I'm not the only one that knows this. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. He didn't say there's not many. He didn't say there's only a few of us. He said there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. We don't snap to what's going on. Everybody in here knows that there's one death for every birth. That doesn't surprise anybody. If we gave a quiz on that tonight, you'd all get it. Well, there's one with everybody but me. Somehow, I just know before I die, they're going to find a fountain of youth. Now, let me tell you, you want them to find it before you get old. Somebody told me the other day, said, man, you're going to live for 100 to be 100. I said, goodness, I hope not. I'm really looking forward to Walker. Spit dribbling down you. Everybody's saying, poor old thing. I told my son, he said, Dad, how you feeling? He's seeing his daddy get old. And I'm going to tell you, I remember seeing my daddy get old. I hated that. I really did. Because still in my mind's eye, I've got this big, strong daddy. And I told him, I said, son, there's some advantages of getting old. And he looked at me like I already had Alzheimer's. And he said, what? What could it possibly be? I said, son, when I was your age and say some of the things I say now, people slap me. I said, now they just kind of shake their head and say, poor old thing. If I was, none understand it. And the reason we don't understand, we don't care enough to investigate. Look it up. Go look it up. Go check out some things. He said, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Somebody told me one time, said, man, I found the Lord. I found out that he didn't. God finds us. I never found the Lord. I wasn't looking for him. But God found me running, trying to get away from him. I think today, somebody made this statement, said there's not any atheist in hell. And there's not. Because the minute they got there, they ceased being an atheist. There's an account of that in the 16th chapter of Luke about a man. And he said, would you send somebody back for my brothers? He said, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. They've all gone. We all headed different directions. They're gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. It's not working out. Everything is going south. You can't win like this. He said, their throat is an open sepulcher. That means it's just a grave. All of the rottenness that runs through our mind and our mouth. He said, with their tongues, they've used deceit. Haven't we done it? We lie when the truth sound better. David said, all men are liars. And we are. How many times have we sat and said, Lord, if you just get me out just one time, here's what I'm going to do for you. And I know the angels in heaven said, oh, goody, goody. Layla's going to do something for us. Aren't we impressed? We say, now, Lord, you're going to do this. I can do this for you. We just keep deceiving and deceiving. He said, the poison of asp, that's poisonous snakes, are under their lips. Think of all the lies we told. Constantly, over and over. Hey, man, would you come to church? Yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, right. When they embalm you and roll you down to the front. That's when we, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to stop this. As soon as I get this done, I'm going to straighten up. He said, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I remember right after I'd moved out here, and I got involved in one of the Optimist clubs here in town. It was very good for me. I'm very thankful for that club because it kept me busy. Kept me from staying home at night. I was single at that time. Kept me from staying home at night feeling sorry for myself. And then wanting to run down there, the Dewdrop Inn and see what's going on. I thought, my goodness, if I can hurry, I can get down there before they can give it a booking. One night they decided to have our meeting. We were doing a big track meet. And somebody wanted to have the meeting over here at the old Hilton Hotel in the club, which I really needed to be in. But I went. And so I can tell you tonight that I can go into a club tonight and not drink, because I did. What I can't tell you is how many nights I do that. But let me tell you what I found out the very first night. My thinking began to change. Old jokes came back that I thought were gone out of my life. Some remarks came back that shouldn't have been there. Anybody ever in here want Mama to be a barmaid? Yeah, we'd die if our mother had done that, but we harassed him more than who'd thought it. But the thinking. Let me tell you something else. I learned about it. Everybody in there was about half bitter. The bitterness and the cursing, and he's talking about right here. You can find it in every bar, whether it's a nice one. If you're just a little higher class, a loser. But we have that stuff. The bitterness and the cursing, the language. People think about different things and therefore they talk about different things. And everybody's miserable because you don't trust anybody. Look around you. Think tonight about how many people you trust with your boyfriend or with your girlfriend or even worse, with your money. Goodness. No, you can't do that. We don't trust anybody. And you know why we don't trust anybody? Because we're not trustworthy. I don't trust people because I know me. If I turned around, I'd sure cheated you. You should have cheated me because I probably would have done it. He said their feet are swift to shed blood. A lot of people are hurt because of what we've done. I never realized when I first started going into prison and doing the Bible study, we just talked about what guys talk about, and we talked about the Bible study. And then Linda and I got married. And I would come in every Friday night just hyper. And about the second or third Friday night, I come in and kept her awake half the night, telling her Joe said this and Bill said that. She said, could I go with you? And so we checked it out with the counselor over there, and he said, yeah, and he okayed for her to come over. And this was, this prison didn't even have a fence around it. It was Loki's white collar, nonviolent federal prison, Big Spring. And they called it technically Big Spring Federal Prison Camp. But anyhow, the guys immediately began to talk to Linda about their wives and their visitation deals, like anybody else's, other than the fact that in the federal prison you could visit from the time you got there till they closed, which was 4 in the afternoon. So if you could get in there at 8 o'clock in the morning, you visit all day long. Get there 9, you visit all day long. And what the wives would do coming from Houston and Dallas, nobody moved to Big Spring to be with their husband. They would come down, and they'd come down on Friday night, get a motel room, visit Saturday and Sunday. They got 4 visits a month, and so they'd do them every other weekend. Saturday and Sunday for 2, skip the next weekend, come back Saturday and Sunday for 2. And the guys come up and said, boy, my wife's had a hard time of it this week. And would you go by the Days Inn? She's in 212 or whatever, and just encourage her a little bit. Would you go by and just visit with her? And we begin to do that. One Christmas day, two of the wives came over after visitation. They called us up and said, could we come to your house and talk to you? Would you give us direction? And they drove from Big Spring, sat down and just unload and cry and talk about their problems. And we found out, and I'll tell you guys this and I'll tell you gals this, the family has a worse deal than the inmate. See, they guarantee you three hots in the cot. Nobody's guaranteeing them anything. And those little old kids, and those people out there, and you say, you're trying to put me on a guilt trip? Like a champion. Because if you're not on one, you don't have any backbone. There needs to be something behind your belt buckle other than just a navel. I'll tell you that. The things that some of these people have to go through on that. And that's how Loops got started, the loved ones of prisoners. That's where we began. We did as many meetings outside of prison as we did on the inside of prison with the families. It's the feet are swift, shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Nobody's happy. We keep trying to get one more high. We keep trying to do something else, another thrill, another challenge, another something, because we're not finding the joy and the peace and the happiness that we're supposed to have, and then you're never going to have outside of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, outside Jesus Christ, this whole world is one miserable place. And if God's not in it, it is miserable. And you know it is. And you can talk all you want to about what big deal we're going to do here. And I got this, and I'm driving this, and I'm making this kind of money, and we're in the oil patch, and boy, we're getting rich today. Let me tell you something. Tomorrow's not here yet. There was a man who said that one time. We studied about it this week in some of our classes, about how great things were. And God said, thou fool, today I require your soul in my hand. It's over with. It's all over with. Turn with me if you would, because somebody every now and then is always saying, well, you know, Leland, I've got a good heart. I can tell you my heart's good. Okay, let's see if it is. Let's see if God agrees with you on that. Turn back to the book of Jeremiah. Back over to the left, it's one of the three long books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Ezekiel. Turn to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 and read or listen carefully. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have promised our own heart that we'd do some things we didn't do. Our heart has deceived us over and over and over because it'll listen to the devil and won't listen to God. That's what's in man's heart. Without Jesus Christ in there to fill the void, everything goes wrong. And it'll keep going wrong, and it'll keep going wrong, and it'll keep going wrong until Jesus Christ comes into our heart. I'm not talking about the church. I'm not talking about some denomination. I'm not talking about somebody's religion. I'm talking about Jesus Christ in the heart of a man or a woman. Turn to the book of Psalms, the longest book in the Bible. Psalms 14. Verse 1, first three verses, said the fool. He said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And here's what he saw. He said, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Did you have that word? He didn't say they're imperfect. He didn't say they're not quite right. He said filthy. Filthy. We're filthy. like the prodigal son, it ended up in the hog pen. That's where we've ended up spiritually time again. This Bible, this is the most discriminatory book in the world right here. Now, you want to see a one-sided, biased, prejudicial book? This Bible recognizes one nation. Out of all the nations in the world, this Bible recognizes one. It's called Israel. And that one will be the only one that's here when smoke clears. This Bible, out of all the cities in the world, recognizes one capital city. And it's not Vegas, it's not New York City, it's not Dallas. It's Jerusalem. That's the only one it recognizes. It recognizes one book. And it's not the Quran. It's the Bible. Everything else, as far as it's concerned, God doesn't even give it the time of day. He doesn't try to get along with anybody. He's not trying to keep... The disciples come to Jesus one day and said, "You've offended those people." Jesus didn't even answer them. Why do you care? See, if we're just going to keep stabbing ourselves in the foot, what's a little offense going to cause? You got your feelings hurt? Somebody said something wrong? "Oh, well, you know, I was down at your church and they hurt my feelings. Well, I don't go to church anymore because somebody did something." No. See, if you're going for that reason anyway, if you're going down there because somebody's going to placate you and try to treat you nice and this is what they ought to do you and they ought to bend over backwards for you, no, you won't have business. Just stay home. Because you're not going to like heaven anyway. They're going to sing spiritual songs in heaven. And they're going to have preaching in heaven. And they're going to study Bible in heaven. And so you won't like it anyhow. You won't be there 2 hours and say, "This is boring." So that's why God's not going to make you go. Unless you want to turn around. I believe he calls that repent. Repent. John the Baptist came to him, and old John was a rugged old West Texas oil field looking guy. And he went to those high class Bible scholars. And he said, "You can repent or you can perish." Just that simple. Paul Harvey told a story of a young man that just had really gone up against it. And his little family, he lost his job, and he was just flat broke. He'd spent every dime he had. He didn't have enough money. He literally did not have enough money to feed his kids. "No, sir, we don't go anywhere. We don't..." "No, sir." He couldn't feed his kids. And he thought, "The only thing I can do is just, I'm going to have to rob something. I'm not going to let my kids go hungry. I'm just not going to do that." And so he found a little place, a little store. And he said, I knocked that place off. And I believe I can get away. But my kids got to eat. And he told his wife, he said, "Honey, I'll be back in a little bit. I'll have something for the kids." And he went in his old trunk and pulled out an old six-shooter that his daddy had given him. Stuck it in his pocket and went to this little store. Walking in, stuck a gun out on a little cashier. He said, "Give me everything in the cash register." And she gave him $20. He said, $20? What are you talking about? Give me everything." She said, "Sir, that's all I've got. They've made their collection earlier this morning. And honest, sir," she said, "this is..." He said, "You mean I'm out here with my life threatened for $20? And then, of course, of this, she'd already stepped on a silent alarm. And as he started back outside, here was four officers with their revolvers pulled. And one of them, because they looked him up on the computer, one of them knew he'd never had a charge in his life. He'd never had a speeding ticket. He'd never had any kind of drug problem. This guy was as clean as he could be. And he said, "Sir, why did you do this?" And he explained the story to him. "I didn't have anything. I'm not going to let my kids starve. I'll go to the prison before I let my kids starve." And he said, "I got one other question for you, young man." He said, "What's that?" He said, "Where'd you get the pistol you using?" He said, "My daddy gave it to me years ago, sir. It's been the first time I've even looked at it, and probably since he gave it to me 15, 20 years ago." He said, "Sir, do you realize that that's an original Colt that's worth over $30,000? He said, "You realize you had in your hand the entire solution to your problem?" And I thought about my Bible. There's not a problem that the solution's not in here. There's not a problem that comes up, family problem, financial problem, health problem, that this old book can't have. But you know, the greatest problem it has is that for people on the road to hell, can get on the road to heaven just like that. Just like that. That solves that problem just by trusting the author of this book. The writer of Hebrews called Jesus the author and finisher of our faith. He wrote the book for us to get to heaven. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here tonight, and you've got some problems. But you've got the answer, if you want the answer, in Jesus Christ. Tonight, you say, "Leland, I do have some problems. I do want the answer. I'm honest. I'm not just saying that. Nobody's watching you except God." Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You say, "Leland, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I'm not a Christian. I want to go to heaven when I die." Would you just slip your hand up real quick? Real quickly. Anybody? Yes, sir. I see your hand. Anybody else? Real quickly. Yes, sir. Yes. 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 See your hand, hon. Anybody else? Oh, your life has been shipwrecked. And you've got tonight what it needs to solve your problem. That's Jesus Christ. And he said, these are his words, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Would you stand to your feet with heads bowed, eyes closed? I'm going to pray, and then Brother Charles is going to sing a verse of "Just As I Am." On that very first verse, I want you to come and say, "I want to be saved. I want to know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die." Our precious Heavenly Father, you know our hearts from up here on this platform all the way to the back of the room. Not one of us can hide anything from you. Father, you've seen the hands. You've seen the hearts that should have had hands with them, and they didn't. And I pray right now, Father, that your Holy Spirit would give them the courage, the strength to step out and trust you as their Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. With our heads still bowed and eyes still closed, Brother Charles, "Just As I Am," without one plea. would you come right now? Just step right out. Nobody's looking around. You can come. So there'll be somebody here with you that can show you in the Bible how to be saved. Would you come? Come on, right now. Don't put it off any longer. You've got this far. Would you do it? Come on. Come on. Yes, come on. Yes, come on, huh? Yes, sir. Come on, come on. Will you come? Be somebody here to pray with you. Be somebody here to show you in the Bible how to get to heaven. Don't put it off any longer. Just come on. Just come on. Right now. Yes, come on. The Lord's. Come on.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.